When you think about brain injuries, maybe you think of concussions that football players and other athletes suffer, or troops who get head injuries from IEDs or other explosions. But tens of thousands of ordinary people in this country get potentially serious brain injuries every year. And as NPR's Daniel Zwerdling reports, the victims, and even their doctors, often don't know it.
One doctor who did not diagnose this brain injury is Brian Arling. Arling is an internist in Washington, D.C. His practice is not far from the White House.
Morning, Bill. Dr. Arling, how are you?
Good to see you.
Yeah. You know those issues every year in magazines, top doctors, that kind of thing? Arling's peers always vote to put him on the list.
Dominique?
Yes, sir.
I found the colonoscopy, but I need...
So it's kind of ironic that the brain injury he failed to diagnose was his own. He could have died from it. To show how it happened, he said we should meet at his house. And Arling took me to the walk-up attic to explain how it all began.
We have storage space that's under the eaves over here.
It was late spring last year. Arling was looking for some files connected to his practice. He found them in a box and stood back up, and his back.
It was a shooting pain in the center of the back. It's a pain I've had before, but it was more intense than I've ever had it.
He took painkillers and went back to work. Weeks went by. His back was still killing him.
Then I began noticing that I was shuffling. I was so weak I couldn't carry my tray out to the back deck. I would just drop things, and everybody commented on how I seemed different.
And Arling says his thinking seemed different, too.
I could make sense of things. I could get things done. I could make decisions. But I was slower at what I did.
Arling figured, I must have trouble focusing because my back hurts so much. So a neurosurgeon ordered an MRI of Arling's spine, and it showed his discs were a mess. But that was nothing new. He's had serious back problems for years. So then the neurosurgeon ordered a scan of his brain. When the MRI technician saw Arling's pictures taking shape on his screen, he called the radiologist. He said, you need to see this right away.
On my computer screens, I have a series where we're sort of cutting from the top of the head to the bottom of the chin.
Dr. Ingrid Ott is the radiologist. She points to a big, light shape, like a lake inside Arling's skull. It was blood.
You can see this pushing down onto the brain and causing everything to shift from right to left.
Oh, my goodness. So the brain has been squished completely to the side of this lake of blood?
Exactly.
They sent Arling straight from the MRI to the emergency room at Georgetown University Medical Center. They started prepping him for open brain surgery to suck out the blood. And everybody kept asking him,
when did you fall? And I said, I haven't fallen.
Arling says just as they were wheeling him into the operating room, it hit him. Remember that day he stood up in the attic and threw out his back? When he stood up, he forgot he was under the eaves, and he knocked the top of his head against the wood beam. But he didn't even get a cut, so he forgot about it. Comedians have always made jokes about getting hit in the head. Have you ever seen the Three Stooges?
What strikes your fancy, mister?
We all know we can get hurt if we fall off a ladder, or if we get hit in the head with a frying pan. But Brian Arling got a kind of brain injury that's usually more insidious. Doctors call it a subdural hematoma.
What I have in front of me is I've got a life-size plastic model of the human brain.
David Sifu runs a project studying brain injuries for the Pentagon and the Department of Veterans Affairs. As he can tell you, troops in Iraq and Afghanistan typically got injured by explosions. Shockwaves rattled their brains and caused microscopic damage that's hard or impossible to detect. Football players get injured when their heads get hit, and that damages the brain's electrical wiring. And then there are subdural hematomas. Sifu picks up his model.
It's a flesh-colored or pinkish-colored, half grapefruit-sized organ that is...
First, there's a membrane called the dura that wraps around the brain and protects it. And then there's a network of veins that connect the dura and the surface of the brain. Studies suggest that as you get older, your brain shrinks and pulls away from the membrane, especially after you're 60 or 70. But the veins keep holding on. So as your brain pulls away, some of those veins get more exposed and more vulnerable. And researchers say if you just bump your head on the eaves of your attic, like Brian Arling did, or if you simply start to fall and then catch yourself, but your head jerks in the air, that can be enough to jostle your shrinking brain.
And those veins stretch, and you'll get tearing in those veins. And very low-pressure ribbon of blood that's layering on top of the surface of the brain.
As that blood starts to pool over days or weeks, it irritates the brain cells. And if the pool is big enough, it presses on the brain like a tumor. Subdural hematomas are a big deal. Researchers studied 20% of the nation's hospitals a few years ago, and they found that just those hospitals diagnosed almost 44,000 subdural hematomas in a recent year. So the researchers figure there are probably hundreds of thousands of these injuries across the country, especially when you consider that subdural hematomas are often misdiagnosed or undiagnosed. Listen to this. More than half the patients studied have trouble remembering they hit their heads at all, like Brian Arling and like Tom Field.
Mr. Field, you're going to come over here and lie on the table.
Is this going to be with contrast or without?
Field is at VCU one morning. That's Virginia Commonwealth University Medical Center in Richmond. A technician is getting him positioned for a CT scan to see how he's been doing since his surgery. The mystery for Field started with headaches.
It wasn't a constant headache. It was a low-grade headache, but it wouldn't go away.
Then he was driving his wife, Jody, to the doctor one day, and he kept drifting.
I said, Tom, you're going on their side of the road. He said, I know. He said, I can't seem to help it.
Field saw his local doctor. Next thing he knew, a helicopter rushed him to this medical center, and a surgeon named Bill Broadus drilled holes in his head.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're doing
At
good.
This appointment, Broadus and a nurse are taking out the staples in Field's scalp.
They're stainless steel staples, and they're...
Broadus says after they opened Field's brain, they vacuumed out roughly 1 cup of blood. Broadus says he asked Field before the surgery, what was your accident that made you bleed like that? And it took a while before Field even remembered. He'd put the sprinkler away under his porch 2 months earlier, and he bumped his head against the floorboards.
And just standing up and hitting your head on the bottom of a porch is enough to do that?
Yeah, and actually what's interesting is that we may see 50 to 100 here at this institution every year.
Brain specialists say, remember this. Most people who get a subdural hematoma will never know it. The brain will reabsorb the blood, and life will go on as normal. But for tens of thousands of others, it's serious. Doctors told me they often see families who think loved ones are getting dementia, and it turns out they hit their heads and have a bleed, and some victims die. But Brian Arling is proof that you can be cured if you catch it in time.
Even carrying a heavy bag and a cane.
It's been about 8 months since Arling hit his head, and he's back to his full schedule seeing patients.
It's so easy to come away from a story like mine and to feel fragile and so to worry unnecessarily. The body is phenomenally well designed and it has a phenomenal ability to heal itself.
But if you did have a knock on the head and you do start to feel weird...
Call your neurosurgeon.
Dr. Brian Arling, back at work. Daniels Wordling, NPR News.